Welcome to Calming Harp, the sounds of David's Psalms. I'm glad you've joined us for this brief moment we share together. I will be playing some of the music that has been brought out of the Psalms. My name is Steve Reese. I play the harp. And over the last several years, I've been bringing the sounds of David's Psalms into recordings. You can find a lot of my music on my website, www.calmingharp.com. I have CDs available and MP3s. And you can go to YouTube. If you go to YouTube and then type in Peregrinati, Peregrinnatti, you will find hours of beautiful harp music that you can just play in the background and be calmed with the music that David may have played for his sheep at one time or another. So as we share this half hour, join me and enjoy the sounds of David's harp. Morning, here we are again. We're now in Colorado, and it's been quite a trip for us. We are enjoying it. It's finally starting to warm up. It's going to get into the 70s today, so we're happy for that. And we're with some dear friends, Kelly and John, and it's good to see them again. This trip has been a lot of reconnecting with friends and keeping our relationships developed and healthy and strong. So anyway, today I'm going to do just a little bit different. Shirley and I, in our morning readings the other day, were in the book of Habakkuk is the Hebrew pronunciation, I believe. I'm not totally perfect on my pronunciation, but Habakkuk is considered one of the minor prophets, and I'm going to read you a little note from F.B. Meyer about the book. This is a psalm. This psalm was intended to be sung by the captives during the exile, which was near. In Habakkuk 3 through 15, chapter 3, verses 3 through 15, there is a recital of the great events in the past. First, Sinai. Then the victories and deliverance of the book of Judges, the passage of the Red Sea and the Jordan, the divine vengeance on the oppressors. But the prophet could not contemplate the future of the chosen people without dismay. He longed to be at rest before those terrible Chaldean hosts burst upon the land. At the close, he breaks into a sublime refrain, which has been a solace and song of myriads of believers through the ages. If all of God's gifts failed, he would still possess the giver. He could still triumph in God. Indeed, the divine Savior and friend is often more apparent when the fields and farmsteads are bare. So there's a couple of keys to this this chapter of Habakkuk. One is the very first word used, well, not first word, but the very first verse says that it's to be played upon Shigionoth, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. And Shigionoth is a reference to it being a poem often used as a song. So it's identifying this as a psalm. Then throughout the text, we find the word Selah several times. And one of the other places in scripture that we see that word used a lot is in the Psalms. And usually when we come to that word, my interpretation, when it says Selah, it means stop. Don't read anymore until you've meditated upon what you just read. Take those words in carefully and meditate upon them. And then once you've done that, then you move on to the next verse or thought. And then the final key is that right at the in the last verse, 19, it says to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And neginot is the word there, which refers to instruments that are struck with the fingers. So definitely I believe we're referring to the harp, or certainly would be one of those. So this is a psalm for sure. And it's interesting because there's other places in scripture that there are psalms that are not listed in the book of Psalms, and but they're psalms nonetheless, and they carry the same thoughts, hopes, and appeals to our Heavenly Father. And this one certainly does as well. So I'm going to have Shirley read this. The music I'm playing in the background is some music that I developed. I called ambient music. It's just music for meditation. I do have it up on YouTube, and with some video behind it. So if you want to go there and listen to it in full length, it certainly is available on the YouTube channel Peregrinati or Calming Harp. Either one will get you there. Or you can even go Steve Reese Harp, and that'll get you there in YouTube. So let's let Shirley read these words, and then I'll let the music play kind of in the background while I have some more thoughts. I'll let the music play for a while just by itself because I want you to enjoy it. It's just very peaceful and really sets a very meditative mood. And then I'll have thoughts for the end of our discussion. So here comes Shirley.
A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Yahweh, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Yahweh, do I fear? In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Elohim came from Timon, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His splendor covered the heavens and the earth. Was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Yahweh? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea? When you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation. You stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows, Selah. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging water swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. Selah. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me, yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will take joy in the Elohim of my salvation. Elohim, Yahweh is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choirmaster with stringed instruments.
So that's listening to the words of the psalm, or the prayer, as it's called, either way, of Habakkuk. And I love the way he phrases some of these things. when you rode on your horses on your chariot of salvation. That's quite a picture there. And then it says, let's see, how was that? You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You sent out your salvation. Crushed the head of the house of the wicked. And, this one here, verse 15. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. And if any of you have ever been out on the open sea, it can get pretty rocky out there. And, you know, for some amazing way, I don't know if Habakkuk had ever spent time on the sea or not. We were with some friends the other day, and they were watching this YouTube of big ships out in incredible seas. I mean, these 300-500-foot, 1,000-foot ships. I don't know what their length was, but they were big tankers. And they were just, the waves were coming over the bow and coming up, hitting the captain's housing way up on the combing area. And you just think of the power of those waves and everything. And here Habakkuk is describing that as him threshing, trampling the sea. And that you can just see that the feet of our God, the feet of Yahweh, just up and down, causing those huge waves to be generated. And I've always appreciated poets and writers who have attributed to natural events a way of seeing how God interacts with the natural world. And I've always felt that way myself. So many times I've always considered myself kind of a naturalist. And I've always loved hiking and backpacking and being outside and studying. I studied botany in college before I went back into medicine. But the way that God reveals himself through nature has always been astounding to me. And it's like, in fact, there's a place in that Paul writes that some people don't even know who Yeshua is or have never been shown the gospel, but they believe in our Heavenly Father because they see him in his natural world, in his creation. They look at the natural world and they go like, wow, what a designer that put all this together. And we were listening to Jordan Peterson speaking with a biologist. I'm trying to remember his name right now. But they were talking about how the natural world, the science itself, the study of the natural world has always been... You can't really study it. You cannot be scientific without having an understanding that there has to be a designer behind it, because there's so much design. There's so much mathematics. There's so much, you know, you take the golden mean, and I would encourage you to look up on YouTube, just type in golden mean or golden ratio, and you will find, you know, probably hundreds or more videos on the incredible design that we see from the curling of the DNA molecule to seashell, to the galaxy, to the sunflower, to the pine cone. It's everywhere. And so as we look at that, we see that our Heavenly Father reveals himself through his creation. And as I've said before, even the frequencies, especially the 528 hertz, I believe is kind of his way. You know, a creator is an artist, and I believe that he audibly signs his creation with the 528 hertz frequency. And when we begin to see how everything fits together so intimately and so amazingly, when we get down to the bottom here of Habakkuk's thoughts, he says that even if there's no fruit on the fig tree and there's no fruit in the vines and the olives don't produce anything and the fields yield no food and the flock is cut off from the fold and there's no herd. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. So even if we have nothing, we still have our Heavenly Father. And He's always promised He's going to take care of us. He's always going to come through for us. And usually it's ways that we never even thought of. But He does. And so, just like Job, we could be sitting on a pile of ashes with huge sores all over our body and people telling us to just curse God and die. But even at that state, we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. And even Job said, I know my Redeemer lives and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. And so I would encourage each one of you as you go through this week, you might be having some rough time, but I would encourage you to hang on and keep your faith in your Heavenly Father intact and strong, because He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Shalom. So I hope you've enjoyed our time together. Stay tuned, as I say, little pun. I have many more songs to share with you. I have more to share about how this all comes together. And I pray that you will share and help people, especially those you see stressed, especially in these times that we're going through. Bring people to this calming and this peace and this rest that this beautiful music of the Psalms of David brings to each of our lives. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you next week. Many, many blessings to you all today.